Just want to say thanks for joining us. If this is your first time, it's going to be a really wonderful time for us to sit under God's Word together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and get those out. We're going to be in Acts 27, verse 13 through 44. But while you end up, while you're getting your Bibles out, if you would, turn to your neighbor and ask yourselves this question. When you were in a very difficult season of life, what was the thing that helped you the most and why? When you're in a very difficult season, what's the thing that helped you the most and why? Turn to your neighbors. So what are some of those things? What are some of the things that have helped us the most in those seasons? Praise and faith. Dude, tell me about it. He said my wife, and yeah, man, wives are awesome. Thanks, girl. Anything else? Family. Dang, what? That's my wife. She's wonderful. She also heard about the sermon earlier, so way to go. Those are all wonderful things that really help us get through the difficult things of life. Now, the Bible has so much to say about difficult seasons and what it means to depend on the Lord in those seasons, but it's not the only in those desperate seasons that we need to be dependent and look to Jesus, but we need to be dependent on him all of our days. More likely than not, most of our days are not going to be filled with these crazy wheels falling off the bus moments. It's more of these simple, small, annoying things that really get to us. So anything we talk about today will be helpful when life is actually falling apart, or when you're just having a difficult relationship with a coworker, or if you're having a hard time in your marriage, or if you've had a day that's just going not the way you planned it, which is the tagline for parenting. Today's going to go not the way you planned it. The section of scripture that we're going to be studying today is about a time in Paul's life where he exhibited unbelievable faithfulness. Despite going through something that for many of us, if we were put in the same situation, we would have crumbled and given up. But Paul, he's a man just like us. But the Spirit enabled him to live a life completely given to the work of Christ in spreading the gospel and making disciples. This text is a narrative, which means it's just telling a story. And so we're going to take that story and draw circles around it and point those things back into our lives. Because more likely than not, and I hope this is the case, for most of us, we're not going to actually experience a real shipwreck. We're going to be talking about the time where Paul gets in a shipwreck right before he goes to the island of Malta. I really hope we don't somehow all end up in a shipwreck. Although if we all went down together, cool. But some of us, life can feel like it's a shipwreck waiting to happen. We've all experienced those times when it feels like the ship of our lives has run aground on the rock. And in those times, we can be led to despair. But my hope is that today we'll store up the word in our heart, so when we face a moment such as that, we won't crumble. Instead, we can be a great light to the glory of Christ. As I said previously, this sermon is able to be applied to our lives on the days where everything falls through and life is absolutely hopeless, or on the days where you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. We can apply the word to our lives on both of those days. And so if you would, get your Bibles out. We're going to dive in. Let's pray first, though. Jesus, Lord, our prayer is that you would help us today to have our eyes opened. God, we are utterly incapable of changing our own heart, and so we desperately need you, Holy Spirit, to change our hearts for us. So Lord God, I pray that today as we're looking through the word, Lord, would you give us a greater understanding of you, a greater understanding of ourselves, and a greater understanding of the needs of our world. So Lord Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. And so the first point for today is that God actually does allow us to be brought to the brink of despair. You know, if you watch some TV evangelist preachers, it sounds like, man, life is all, you know, fun and giggles and rainbows and roses. But when we read the scripture, we see something different, something with much more substance than that. First thing we need to see, God brings us to this place that can seem absolutely hopeless, times where we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. where we are so dependent on God that it feels like we're not even able to take our own steps, but we need the Father one at a time to pick our legs up and move us forward. He moves us through our difficulties in this way. Acts 27, verse 13 through 15 says, "Now when the wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeastern struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along." This is that moment in life where you look up and you say to yourself, how on earth did we get here? Everything was going so smoothly. We were just cruising along so happily, and then the floor fell out. For Paul, he had asked these men not to set sail, and yet they thought that it would be okay. And so they set out, but had no idea what was right around the corner for them. It's so interesting how this can happen for us, right? For me, the story is this. One day I was walking up to my house. My friend Brian had just stopped by, and Terry and I were both so excited to see him. But that's when I got a phone call. It was the kind of phone call that happens and instantly you feel like you're just sitting on the outside of your body looking down at a stranger, and the voice on the other end was frantic and you couldn't make any sense of the voice when all of a sudden one single sentence slipped through. Clive ate the pills. At that moment, the floor fell out. It was terrifying. That day I felt like I was going to be driven along in life, and I was not prepared for the ride. We'll get back to that story in a second. So Paul and his new friends, they're completely out of control in this ship, being driven along by the wind. Verse 15 says that as they were being driven along, they couldn't steer the boat. That's such a terrible feeling, right? When you feel like you have no grasp on life and you can't make life do what you want it to do, and you're just being driven along almost like a bystander. Verse 16 says, "Running under the lee of a small island called Quada." Like, hey, you need a quota? Sorry. "We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. And then fearing that they'd run aground to Cyprus, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor star appeared for many days, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." So the storm for these sailors had got worse. And they thought that they were going to hit something in the water, so they tried to lighten the load of the boat, which is a great idea, right? If you're going to run your ship aground, let's try to lift that puppy up. I mean, like, if you make the boat lighter and it floats higher in the water, you can safely go over these dangerously shallow water. And so these men, they panic and jettison cargo, grabbing anything that was weighing them down. Now, it makes sense for these sailors on a boat to do this when they felt out of control in life. I mean, the boat, as it was driving them along. But why is it that we, you and I, when we get into these situations where we feel like we're going to run aground, we cling so tightly to the things that are truly weighing us down? For some of us, that could be a crutch or a vice that at one time was helpful, that we thought it was helpful, helping us survive the day to day, but eventually it just became an addiction. Something that doesn't draw you to focus on the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus is the only one who's truly able to comfort the soul. All these addictions, man, they don't do anything except for numb the pain instantaneously. And then you get done with whatever that vice is, and it's still right there. These sailors were jettisoning the cargo. There's some cargo in our lives that we might need to get rid of too. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For some of us, we might need to understand that God has brought us to this place of desperation where we are completely out of control, to jettison the cargo of the things that are truly holding us back from the way that God intended for us to live. It can be things that are really, really bad for us, like drugs and alcohol, but it can also be things that are way more insidious, right? How about trying to prove your worth to God? That's an addiction that many churchgoers have, where we go, God, you've had so much grace on me. Thank you so much for loving me and for calling me out of darkness. Now, God, I'm going to spend the rest of my days trying to pay you back so that you love me even more. That's something that people do, and it's just absolutely antithetical to the work of the gospel. For some of us, that's a thing that we struggle with right now, where we're trying to prove our value to God, trying to pay him back, trying to earn more grace, and that is not the call of God on our lives. That is a piece of cargo that will sink your ship faster than any. As we get rid of these things in our lives, the clouds that were blocking our view of God will begin to lift, making it easier to navigate these treacherous waters of life. These sailors, under the immensity of the storm in this story, they lost sight of the stars and the sun. And when that happens, it's terrifying, it's lonely, and it feels helpless. Let's read about it. Verse 20 says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay upon us, all our hope of being saved was abandoned." I'm not sure if you knew this, but Google Maps did not exist at this point. If you lost sight of the stars and the sun, you did not know how you were going to navigate that day. That's why it's so important for us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to rid our lives, to mortify those sinful passions, and begin to beg God to lift the clouds of our sin-riddled fogginess. So we need to realize that sometimes God brings us to these places of desperation that are very, very difficult, to lead us deeper into dependence on him and less into dependence on our coping mechanism, which clears our vision and allows us to navigate life well. The next thing we need to see is this, that God has a plan and a presence in our hardship. Verse 21, "Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, 'Man, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss.'" Now, this was not Paul being a jerk, you know, rubbing it in the face like, "Hey, man, told you so." This is Paul saying, "I have some credibility. I can sense things from the Lord. I've got some credibility. You should really listen to me." Verse 22. Sorry, allergies. Woo. "Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Verse 23, "For this very night there stood before me an angel of God, whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told, but we must run aground on some island.'" So these guys, they finally have an eye-opening moment, because Paul was right. They should not have set sail in that moment. And they started to get what they deserved for their, or they ceased to get what they deserved for their decision when the angel showed up to Paul and said, "You guys are not going to die." They deserve to die for making the decision to set sail when they did. How beautiful is it in our lives that the Lord does not give us what we deserve, that we have shipwrecked our faith so many time and time before, and yet the Lord does not give us the condemnation that we deserve, and he replaces that condemnation with his grace and with his love as we repent. God had mercy on them because he had a plan for Paul. What was that plan? Well, Paul had to stand in front of the Roman rulers as a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian, you can stand firm in the storms of life. You can lean wholly on Christ and allow his promise to never leave you nor forsake you, to galvanize your confidence that he isn't wasting a moment of your story. Your confidence in the plans of Christ, despite the raging tempest, is a beacon of light piercing through the thick darkness of our world. Now imagine being in this really dark situation of your life. I mean, this is a really horrible situation for Paul. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears and encourages you. That's incredible. I would be so scared. I'd be like, enough, please, leave me alone. I'd be so freaked out, but it would be so nice to know in those moments, no matter how bad the situation was, that God had a plan and that he would be with you every step of the way. The Lord, if you guys don't know, this is what the Bible says. The Lord has numbered our days and he knows what is the makeup of every single one of them. And he promises to walk us through this life, through the storms of life, all the way to eternity's shore. That's a truly wonderful thing, to be in the arms of an almighty and yet incredibly intimate God. Psalm 23:4 says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, like modern psychology would say, weather the storms of life because you are with you, because you've got what it takes. That is not the counsel of the scriptures. The scriptures say that God is the one who will pull us through. As long as we try to weather the storms of life in our own strength, we will consistently and constantly fumble over and over. But when we turn our eyes to the Lord, we will see success. Now, that success might not necessarily be our definition of success, but it will be his definition of success. So God might lead us to suffering, but he never abandons us in the suffering. Terry and I, that day, we pulled our car up to the complex where Clive was, you know, where we got the call from. And as we're driving up, I see the ambulance start to pull away. It was an absolutely terrible feeling. All hope felt lost. We were shattered, not knowing what was happening in the back of that ambulance to our son. We didn't know if he was conscious. We didn't know if he was scared. That's such a terrible feeling to be, you know, feet from your son and just go, I want to be there with him, comforting him in that moment. And all of a sudden, as we're driving behind this ambulance, I look down and the floor fell out again. I had 1 mile of gas till empty. Now, granted, we drove like 5 miles on zero, so I was like, thanks, car, for lying to me. But we coasted into a gas station. We got just enough gas that we needed to make the trip to we don't even know where this ambulance is going. But that moment of hopelessness was like a punch in the gut. Terry and I, in that moment, we prayed with more fervor than we had ever prayed in our entire lives. We prayed that God would save Clive. We knew that Clive was just out on loan to us, and that if God took him home, we would continue to trust and to follow our Savior all of the days of our lives. But we wanted more time with our boy. We knew that God's sovereign hand is never out of control for a moment, and so we trusted God's wisdom, but we still made our plea. We were so scared as Nemours Hospital began to raise over the horizon. But we'll get back to that story in a second. Next point is this, that God leads us through the storm with prayer. Acts 27:27. When the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. And so they took a sounding about 20 fathoms, and a little further on they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms, and were fearing that they might run on the rocks. So they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out the anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." 14 days and nights had passed under this insane storm. I mean, the anxiety levels must have been through the roof. I would have absolutely hated to be in their situation. Like, I can hear loud music and start to have anxiety. Could you imagine being in a storm for 14 days? Woo! These sea-hardened sailors, they'd reached a point of desperation that surely for most of them was actually a new experience. And they did what anybody should do in a situation like this. They prayed. They stopped and they spent time in prayer. But I find it interesting what they prayed for. They prayed for the day to come and not for the storm to pass instantly. Like, if I were in their situation, I would be praying, Jesus, please let this storm pass right now. But that's not what they prayed for. They prayed for the day to come. I mean, we see this in Matthew 8. Jesus is actually able to calm the storm. The storm, if Jesus thought about it for a second, would go from a howling tempest, a raging wind, to still waters. And Paul knew Jesus. He knew that this could happen instantaneously. And these men are praying under the guidance of Paul, and they still pray for daytime. When I look at the way many of us respond to difficult times, myself included, I often pray that Jesus just changes the situation and make things as if they had never happened. But it's interesting. Consistently throughout the scripture, God takes people through the night to show them the glory of the day. God leads us through the thick of the mess. You cannot go over the mess. You cannot go around the mess. We must be brave and dependent enough to go through the mess. And the best way to do that is ardent prayer. Jesus, the God-man, if anything knew, anybody on earth, you know, who's ever existed, knew what it was like to pray desperately, it was Jesus. One time near the end of his life, he went to the garden to pray, and Jesus knew that the end of his life was just around the corner. He was in distress. I mean, feel the weight of a text like this. The eternal Son of God is feeling this intense pressure. He's suffering. Let's read about it. Matthew 26, 37 through 39. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That level is of sorrow that Jesus had in that moment is something I pray that none of us have to experience. But feel the weight of this. The eternal Son of God is alone praying that if there is a way out, God would show it. Yet he knew that the circumstances did not need to change for him to remain obedient to the plans of the Father. He knew that he had to go through the mess. There was no circumventing the situation. Now, I don't always respond that way. If God doesn't respond the way I want him to, sometimes I get angry at God. Sometimes I hide away from God, and that doesn't do anything for the situation. Whenever I do that, the situation is just as bad as before. All it does is show my immaturities. But when Jesus is praying, drops of blood are falling from his brow. God was strengthening him in the moment through prayer. He was strengthening him for the task ahead. God was taking Jesus through the suffering, and prayer was the sail that Jesus hoisted into the air, trusting God to pull him through. Paul and the sailors, they're doing the same thing, being taken through the storm in this exact same fashion. And for many of us, we need to learn from the example of Jesus and learn from the example of Paul and these sailors that if we're going to be going through these storms of life, we need to find strength in our prayer life. There's an old hymn with beautiful lyrics that say this: "At anchor laid remote from home, toiling I cry, sweet spirit come. Celestial breeze no longer stay, but swell my sails and speed my way. Fain would I mount, fain would I glow, and lose my cable from below. But I can only spread my sail. Thou, Lord, must breathe thy auspicious gale." All we're responsible for, all we can do is put ourselves in a place where we've hoisted our sails of prayer. It is the Lord and His Holy Spirit that push us through those desperate moments. Now, it's okay in those moments to be really frustrated. It's not a bad thing to be frustrated when life feels like it's falling apart or when you're so annoyed at life that you just don't really feel like getting out of bed that day. But I don't want any of us to allow that type of frustration to draw us back to the old cargo that we jettisoned so long ago as we were following Christ. So as Terry and I see the hospital materialize over the horizon, it took all the faith we had to pray for God's will to be done. And the only way that we were able to make it through that moment of absolute hopelessness was to pray for strength from our God. The only way for you, the only way for me to get through these moments is to dive headlong into prayer. So we know that God brings us to hard places, right? We know that, that at times that just happens. The Lord does it in His own infinite wisdom, and we can trust Him. We also know that the Lord has a plan with these difficult situations, and most likely that plan is to be present with us amongst the difficulties. And we know that the way through those things is through a robust prayer life. But sometimes, if not all the time, we don't have the strength to weather the storms of life alone. We need God's word and God's people. Verse 32, the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and ate food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. You know, God's people are an encouraging people. It would have been amazing in this moment to see Paul's demeanor and see his confidence throughout the whole ordeal. This is something that followed Paul around his entire life. In a different part of this, the New Testament, we see Paul encouraging other believers to remain with an encouraging spirit. He's talking to the believers in Thessalonica. And he's saying, as you guys are looking toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got one thing you need to do now. He says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." It's so important that we as the body of Christ be diligent in this command to encourage one another to weather the storm faithfully. None of us in this room is capable of doing life alone, not a single one of us. And these sailors are no exception. They've gone 14 days without eating and will soon be entering the water. Now, how many people in this room get hangry? Yeah, you don't want to be around me if I have not had food for like 14 minutes, okay? These guys go 14 days. I couldn't even imagine the type of internal anguish in my soul if I had not eaten food for 14 days. These guys are at the last leg of the trip. They know that they need some sustenance. They're about to enter the water. When hopelessness overwhelms us, when we've gone that many days without real sustenance, the word of a brother or sister can be so deeply encouraging. It can be like a sweet balm on a cracking wound. For these sailors, Paul encourages them with food, right? 14 days, eating a thing of bread, I'd be so joyful. But we as the believers, the New Testament believers, living 2,000 years after the time of Christ, we've got something so precious to encourage each other with. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God sustains us. It helps us to grow. For these sailors, it was only as long as they had these morsels of food in their bellies that they would have this encouragement. But for us, we have the eternal word of God that will not fade away to encourage one another day after day after day. It's so deeply encouraging to hear God's word wash over you. To have a friend come and say, hey, this scripture reminded me of you. We all need to be consistent in this type of encouragement. We actually have the word of God with us. And this is something that should be so powerful in our lives. So to move into another story, just like these sailors, Jesus had gone many, many, many days and many, many nights without food. 40 to be exact. And Satan wanted to tempt Jesus to give up his calling from God and become a self-seeking sinner. But Jesus knew that earthly bread would not sustain him. Satan asked Jesus to turn the rocks into loaves of bread, and Jesus responded in this way. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you know what Jesus is doing there? He is quoting the Old Testament. He's using scripture to defeat the lies of the enemy, and that is a beautiful tactic that Christ used. Why don't we use that more in our encouragement of each other? To use the word of God, to see the word of God bring about a confidence in the believers to defeat the lies of Satan. And how beautiful is this, that the bread of life has offered himself and his word as our encouragement. Jesus and his words will pull us through as we as believers begin to encourage each other in it. Acts 27, man, the bread that they ate, it was powerful, but not nearly as powerful as the word of God. God's words empower our hearts to endure a million times more than the bread that was offered to those sailors on that ship. So when you're in a tough season, ask yourself this right now. When you get to a tough season, have you cultivated deep Christ-centered relationships? And have you stored up the word of God in your heart? The Holy Spirit uses those things to bring us through the night and into the glorious day, but I fear for so many of us that we haven't done the hard legwork, putting it, you know, spending time at a community group that's sometimes awkward, and we just got to fight through it sometimes to have cultivated relationships for the dark nights of our soul. With us, the believers, with scripture hidden in our heart amongst the people of God, we will endure. So Terry and I turned into this hospital. We sprint down the hallway, and we see our son connected to all these different machines, wires, and tubes hanging off of him everywhere. He had taken blood pressure medication, and his blood pressure began to drop and began to drop and began to drop. Now, I walk into the hospital room where he is, and all of these cords are hanging off him, and all he can do is say, I am a robot, I am a robot, and I'm like, my boy! I can't describe to you in that moment how encouraging it was to have my best friend Josh walk through those doors. Josh works with concrete, so he came in all dusty. I'm like, come on, man, take a shower. Just kidding. Josh walks in. He had heard that Clive was in the hospital, left work for the day, came and sat with me in Clive's hospital bed. Clive was sitting there. The blood pressure medication started to drop his heart rate. And so he looked like he was about to pass out. And Josh stopped and he prayed with us. He reminded me that God was with us every single moment of the way. He reminded me that God was not giving up on us. No matter what happened, the Lord would see us through to eternity. It is so encouraging in the midst of the storm to have friends and the word of God with you. Last point is this. God keeps his promises. If there's any truth in the Bible that should revive the Christian spirit, is that God keeps his promises. So Paul and his merry men, they're reaching the climax of the story. The waves are pounding against the sides of the ship. The wind is blowing. The rain is falling. And the sun has finally come up over the horizon. But things are about to go crazy. Verse 38. When they had eaten enough to lighten the ship, when they had eaten enough to lighten the ship, the men must have been hungry, okay? And now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they had planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders, so they're totally out of control. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach, but striking the reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks and pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to the land. So the ship starts to give way, starts to break apart, and the guys make one final dash, one last ditch effort to make it to dry land. And for all of us, as we're sitting here reading this story, we're sitting on the outside, and it can be so easy to just say, they're gonna be fine, no big deal. But could you imagine sitting in the water, clinging with all of your strength to a piece of wood, floating and hoping that Paul was right, that the angel, you know, that the angel said everyone would be safe? When you're holding on for dear life from a piece of wood that just came from a ship that broke apart on the rocks, it's difficult to remember that everything's just going to go to plan. I wish Luke would have given us a little bit more detail here about Paul's reaction. So far, Paul had been unmoved by the circumstances. He was confident that God would bring him safely to Rome, because when God promises to do something, God sees his work through to the end. Read Philippians 1:6. It is a wonderful verse about this truth. Now, I get it. For Paul, he had an actual angel of the Lord show up to him and tell him that things were going to be fine. Like, that's a pretty big deal. When you have something like that, a promise like that, that probably shifts the way that you encounter and experience the storm. Paul was certain that God would keep his promise, that Paul was going to speak about Christ to the Romans. That definitely shifts the way that you act in the storm as well. And so I ask you, does knowing the promise of God change the way that you weather your storms in your life? These guys floated on a piece of wood for their salvation, but we believers, we float to eternity's shore on the 5-foot-thick steel-hull battleship of Christ's righteousness. Do you trust in the Bible? Do you trust that it is true? That the Bible gives us a promise that God will not leave us in the storm. He will not abandon us in the storm. And if anything, God will personally pull us through. Do you cling to the promises of the Lord? 2 Timothy 4:17 says this, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might fully be proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever. Amen." You know, the point of this text that we've just studied is that Paul endured the storm faithfully. And I'm hoping that when you face the storms of life in a fallen world, you would embrace Christ in those moments through prayer, through God's people, through his word, clinging to the promises of God that he will safely see us to the end. You know, that day when Clive was in the hospital, that was the most intensely terrifying day that I've ever had. And if things had turned out different, Christ would still be the refuge that we cling to. I am so thankful that the Lord saved our son, and he saved us from unspeakable sorrow. But knowing that God makes a promise to never leave us and never forsake us makes hopeless situations blossom with confidence and joy in our God. As I said before, you know, for you, you may need this message because the wheels are falling off. Take heart. God is with you. For the rest of us, we might not be in that kind of season right now. And listen, praise the Lord for that. But there are still everyday frustrations of parenting and going to work. I mean, so many of us hate our jobs. I'm not going to ask for raised hands. A lot of us are struggling with loneliness. A lot of us are struggling with our health or with our finances. These are all things that can be deeply frustrating, but I believe if we weather those storms with God's people, God's word, God's presence, and God's promise, God will be all the more glorified as we are made more fully into the image of Christ. Friends, weather the storms well. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. God, thank you that we're able to talk about things that are difficult. And, oh man, God, I praise you that you saved my son that day. But for anybody in this room that is going through hardship and struggling right now, Lord God, I pray that you would remind them that you've not abandoned them, that you're with them, that you pull them through the storm, that your grace is enough for any mistakes that they've made while they're trying to walk through, trying to figure out the storm in their own power. I pray that they would just give those things up and submit themselves at the feet of King Jesus. Lord God, we're so thankful for you. Change our hearts, Lord. We praise you, King Jesus. It's in your name we pray.